Happy Monday, everyone, and thank you for joining us here today. You are listening to Universe Talks with Monica Ortiz. Monica Ortiz is a respected healer, published author, and successful life coach. For over 20 years, Monica has helped people from all walks of life overcome adversity, achieve goals, and find success. Her radio shows are designed to bring her wisdom to you. Over to you, Monica.
Thank you, Vanessa. I'm happy you're here with me today. Today is Monday, March 9th. I'm Monica Ortiz, broadcasting from Los Angeles, California. I love Mondays, and I hope you do as well. As you know, I've said it before, Mondays are the start of a new week. So stop and think about what you're going to do with your week. I know what I'm going to do with mine. I'm glad to be spending my Mondays with you, as always. Here on Universe Talks, we'll be discussing all aspects of life and the universal principles to give you the tools to develop and keep success, good health, and fulfillment in all aspects of your life. If you have a question, you can email me at radio@theuniverseseries.com and we will read and answer your question on the next show or on a show with a topic that it pertains to. Today's show is The Passionate Writer with special guest Sabrina Must. Sabrina graduated from Johns Hopkins University in 2008 with a bachelor's in writing seminars and from Northwestern University in 2012 with a master's in writing. Her passion for writing is seen in her three publications, Must Girls Love, a memoir, Living Witnesses, Faces of the Holocaust, and Living Witnesses, Triumph Over Tragedy. Sabrina has also been passionate about athletics and wellness since childhood, a product of a health fanatic mom and grandfather. A competitive ice hockey player and soccer player throughout high school, she continued her soccer career at the collegiate level at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, Maryland. This passion for living healthily led her to pursue a career in fitness. From 2008 to 2010, Sabrina coached high school soccer and ice hockey teams in her Detroit suburb hometown. Then, upon moving to Chicago to pursue her master's in writing at Northwestern University, she started personal training clients who sought healthier lifestyles. We should all seek healthier lifestyles, I think. When she graduated in December 2012, she moved to Austin, Texas for the warmer weather and more active community culture. Today, Sabrina is AFA Personal Training Certified in addition to Yoga Sculpt Certified through Core Power Yoga. Her training style incorporates functional, cardio, and strength-driven exercises. Sabrina, I'm so happy to have you on the show. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I am very excited to be here.
Good. I actually have to let our listeners know, I actually met Sabrina in person recently here in Los Angeles. She's a mutual friend of our friend, AJ Shaw. We're mutual friends, I should say, through AJ Shaw. And, you know, you were visiting. You were on a little vacation out here.
Yeah, it was... You know, I booked it when it was kind of cold and rainy in Austin during December, and I just said, you know what, heck with it. I'm just going to go out to L.A. for a week and see some friends and hang out at the beach in Venice. So it worked out pretty well because we got to have lunch and chit-chat and then meet up later in the week, and so it was nice.
We did. It was lots of fun. You are quite an accomplished woman. It was a mouthful. I'm talking about all of the things that you've done. And I think that that's a wonderful thing. I don't know how you have been so motivated in your life to do all these things. What inspired you to become a writer?
You know, I wasn't a great writer in primary school and secondary school. I was okay. Nothing stood out per se. And when I was at Hopkins, I originally was set to, I was taking classes for an international relations major, and some of the courses were so depressing because you just heard about, you know, over and over how the world is basically just falling apart. And I loved my writing courses that were taking as kind of distribution credit, and I switched, and something just kind of clicked. During those writing courses and working with certain professors. And it wasn't really until just as I was finishing up college in, I guess it was November 2007, the first book that I worked on was a memoir about my sister's death. And I kind of used the journaling like I had always journaled, and that just kind of started to culminate into an actual book. And from there, everything else just kind of, in a weird way, fell into place. Mm-hmm. You know, it had always been a passion of mine to want to connect with people. I didn't necessarily know in what capacity, and as unlucky as it was that my sister passed away, it in a way almost kind of drove me to succeed in other avenues that I hadn't previously thought to explore. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of jumped in and went for it. And while I was doing that, I was doing, you know, the coaching thing, and I just kind of started dabbling in a little bit of everything, realizing that those are, you know, avenues that I was passionate about. So it worked out.
Yeah. So that's curious. I'm curious, actually. Your sister, and I'm sorry, she passed away very, very young. You, and I'm sure it was hard to deal with it because you were much younger than she was.
I was 22 and she was, had just turned 28. We were 6 years apart.
Yeah. So was the writing of the book what helped you cope with her loss?
Absolutely. The writing, the process of basically what I do in the book is I take the reader through the history of our family and my sister Maya's history growing up, you know, her struggle with being bipolar and being in different hospitals and my experience as a kid and looking at Maya as almost a second mother to me.
Yeah.
And because of she ended up committing suicide. Her husband was very abusive, and it just was a very poor decision on her part. Mm. And so when I was writing, it really was just, I didn't want to forget her. I did not want to lose all those little, you know, the memories that you don't think, they're not necessarily big. It's just, how did she touch me? How did she hug me? How did she smell? What would she say? You know, like her incessant phone calls, all that. And yeah, it just ended up turning basically my own therapy. Even though I was working with, you know, a therapist, our whole family went to a therapist and all that good stuff. The writing itself, it opened up so many wounds instead of ignoring it like I think many people do. In that situation, I just kind of briefly was hitting my head against the wall, like, okay, like, I'm going to deal with this right now.
Right.
And the writing was just a medium, you know. It could have been writing the book. It could have been if I was a musician writing songs. It could have been if I was an artist painting. It was any type of self-expression. I think it's just a very beautiful way to let other people in while you're also just kind of making it all just a personal journey in addition to like an external, someone else can view what you went through. So
it's, how do you feel about it now? How do you feel? You went through that process. How do you feel about it now?
So that the year that I detail in the book, from her death, for the whole year proceeding after November 14, 2007 is like a date that's basically just like etched into my memory. Mm-hmm. That was the night that she killed herself. I fell apart. I was completely a wreck. Maybe externally to some people because I was doing so much and I was writing and I was accomplishing things in a certain way and I was starting to coach and, you know, explore all those different passions. I may have seemed somewhat put together and focused, but internally I was an emotional wreck.
Yeah.
And looking back, and I made sure that when I was writing, I was as honest as I could be.
Yeah.
And I wanted people to be okay with being a wreck and talking about these things that, you know, suicide and mental illness and eating disorders and every topic that is just kind of, you know, pushed under the rug, you know, to say kind of make it a cliche, it is often. And
yeah.
So now looking back with, I mean, I would, you know, a million people have not read this book, but there's definitely been a good chunk of, I don't know, 5,000, maybe 10,000 people passing it around in their families. The idea that I may have inspired someone to be a little bit more open about their struggles or just be more true or more driven, even in the face of any type of tragedy, it's very, it kind of warms me. It almost inspires me to do more. So I feel great about the book. When someone says I read it, I still kind of shiver a little bit because it's very exposing of every, that it was a very hard time in my life. But yeah. It was a very beautiful experience for me.
Well, I think it was very important. I'm glad that you said this. It's very important to be honest. It's very important to be completely honest. Sometimes you don't want to look at certain things because they're going to hurt you. And so you just kind of brush it under the rug, or you push it to the side, or you deny it, or you rationalize mm-hmm. it, or you justify yep. it. And those are things that are so not healthy. It's going to hurt for a bit when you're honest for with sure. yourself. It is going to hurt, but it's important to be honest because you can work through it. You know, you can yeah. you can really come to some deep, deep understandings of things. And then, you know what? It doesn't hurt as much.
For sure.
You know, it's still, yeah. you know, there. It may tinge at you because, you know, this is loss we're talking about. But if you're honest about things with yourself, and this is loss, but across the board in your life, if you're just honest with things, like completely honest, not kind of BS honest, not kind of half honest or very sparing with the truth. Again, it's going to hurt for a little while you're getting it out, but the yeah. honesty and that will come to a deep understanding, and the understanding will help you work through it, you know, in a really
Absolutely.
Positive
Absolutely.
way.
Absolutely. I think in terms of being, I'm very much about being honest in relationships and with my body, with work, everything. And it's all very tied together. So me being honest in my writing, then it basically just kind of bleeds into, you know, health and how am I honest in terms of my emotions and my body and, you know, being an actual healthy person. It's not just about feeling emotionally stable. You have to take care of your body. You have right. to take care of your relationships with your friends. I mean, it's a little bit of everything is interconnected. So the honesty part was very big, and it actually took me, it really wasn't until like a year into writing it that I was truly fully honest in every aspect. You know, I was just kind of eating crap and not working out and just kind of staying in bed all day, and I wasn't honest about those parts. And that's, I think, when you are honest as a writer, you are honest in any type of position where you may inspire someone else to be open with themselves, mm-hmm. it really takes away from the experience of connecting with other people if you're not honest. So it was a very good lesson for me in seeing how people responded to that openness. Mm-hmm. That, you know, every person struggles, and every, you know, and it might be in one way or the other, but it essentially just connects with that.
You know, you said something there that I want to talk about. When you're honest like that, do you find some people are so appreciative of it? And mm-hmm. other people are like, what the F?
Absolutely, absolutely. And
how can you open up like that? Or I've never met anybody so honest. Like, it's just ridiculous.
yeah.
Or people yep. have called me honest to a fault. They're like, you're honest yep. to a fault. Like, you just give it. But I've learned how to coat, meaning I've learned how to coat my honesty with mm-hmm. tenderness and love and acceptance and non-judgment. You know,
yeah.
So while I'm being honest, there's no harshness in it. So I learned, because before, you know, I was just like, oh, you know, I'm honest. This is the honesty. This is the complete honesty. And while I didn't want to hurt people's feelings, it was never my intent. to hurt somebody. Sometimes people don't know how to take honesty, you know, because they're just not used to it. So I really had to learn how to cope my honesty with, you know, love and understanding, letting them know I'm not judging. There's no judgment in it and whatnot. So you find that too. Like, I'm happy that you were, you know, you dug in and you were completely honest, but how do people take that with you?
So in terms of whenever I'm honest in my writing, I've never experienced someone not being appreciative of that. In life in general, in relationships, sometimes people are like, okay, great, we need to know how you're feeling. I have learned through the years, not temper it, just maybe be a little bit more tactful, like still be honest. It's just a lot of it is in delivery, you know, in recognizing that people are sensitive in different ways, people receive things differently, people have different values, and respect, and having almost a mutual respect between, all right, I have to be true to myself, and I also need to be true to what you need as a friend. That has been a big lesson for me over the past, you know, 7 years. But before, it was like, well, I'm being honest. Like, I don't, you know, like, you need to, if you can't handle that, then, like, you know, forget you.
Yeah.
But, my dog is going crazy right now. In terms of the book itself and in any writing project, that is, luckily, my experience, it's always very well received, and then it ends up inspiring other people to share more and be like, wow, like, finally, I have that exact same experience. I've never told anyone that. That seems to be kind of the common denominator with any reader. It can be, like, 10-year-old, you know, a 15-year-old girl or a 6-year-old woman, and everyone kind of thanks you for that honesty. So it's a good reminder that it's a good base, it's a good value to have as a person.
Yes, yes. And once you're honest and people have, it's really funny because people have this tendency to go, oh my God, you're so honest, like I don't know how to take it and so on. But once they get used to it, it actually becomes a much better relationship because then they know that they can count on you for your honesty. They know that they can, that you're reliable for that, and they know that you're not going to BS them. And I find that my relationship, the people that I'm close with, my team, you know, my friends, they know that there's not ever going to be any BS out of me. And I think my relationships benefit from that so much. And I'm very, very grateful for people in my life. What struggles are you currently dealing with? Is there anything going on with Sabrina?
So I would say, you know, life is pretty good right now. I run a boot camp. I run boot camps in Austin, and I'm working on a new book. And you know, I like where I live, and my animals are great, and my friends are great. But there is sometimes that, am I doing enough? You know, you said, you know, like, where did that drive come from, or it seems like you've accomplished it. Like, I was kind of reflecting over the holiday season. I was here alone. My family was in Michigan. And, you know, am I doing enough? Maybe I had that push of, maybe I moved to California. Maybe I, you know, create a new community there. See how that goes and challenge myself a little bit more. And, but learning to, you know, reminding myself that where I'm at is, it's okay. It doesn't always have to be, you know, such a struggle, I guess, in a way, like just being content and continuing to do what you're doing and impacting more lives and connecting more with yourself and taking care of yourself. That's successful in its own right. So, just being okay with where I'm at right now, and maybe in, you know, 6 months, I might say, you know, okay, I'm going to pack up and move out to LA. Why not? You know? But right now, that would probably be the biggest struggle that I'm experiencing. It's just, you know, kind of slowing myself down a little bit, and, you know, I'm working on a new project, and it's just being okay with where you're at. and growing those things, and not I don't want to say perfecting, but just continuing to evolve and not feeling like you always have to be moving and changing. And, you know, there's a lot of change that can happen and staying put somewhere at the same time. So,
yeah, there is. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You can keep learning, and why I call it learn, grow, evolve. You can keep doing your learn, grow, evolve wherever you're at. You actually, you should. But there's nothing wrong with challenge and moving somewhere. I want to move somewhere. I'm a little bit, you know, I've been in Los Angeles for many, many years now, and I'm as much as I travel, which I do quite a bit, I'm ready for a change.
And that's the thing. I have three older. Well, I have three older sisters. I always take your older sisters, but one of my older sisters, said to me, you know, you can always just go on vacation, you know, just fly somewhere every couple months. But having a home base, a different home base, it's almost like to me, I get like the 2-year itch. Like I was in Chicago for 2.5 years. At 2 years, I was like, yeah, okay, I'm ready.
Yeah.
Been in Austin just over 2 years. Yeah, okay, maybe I'm ready. But we'll see. I think just slowing it down and trying not to be impulsive and just going with pure emotion, like really maybe planning things out a little bit more, and or being okay with it not being immediate. The immediacy, I'm very much a, you know, all right, like I'm hungry, I need to eat right now. I want to move, I want to move right now. You know, I want to go with yoga, and we're going right now, like, and that's very much how I'm wired, which is great professionally in certain ways because I get shit done, you know, pardon the French, but in other aspects, it does get me in trouble, you know?
Yeah.
It used to actually overwhelm my ex-boyfriend.
You
would sit down, slow down.
Well, I have to say that's so cute because when you were saying that, you remind me of AJ. AJ is so much like that. He's like, okay, let's eat right now. I want to go for a walk right now. I'm ready. Yeah. Let's go. Like, oh my God.
Well, there's a reason. There's probably a good reason that we're friends. So.
Yes. And I think I did that to you. For all the listeners out there, I'm going to tell a funny story. So Sabrina and myself and AJ went out for lunch. And, you know, I've been wanting to get my hair cut again. And I've been procrastinating with it. Usually I'm not a procrastinator, but I'm super swamped with getting these programs finished. And so I've been putting it off. Like everything else comes before getting my hair done. So AJ and Sabrina and I went to lunch. And we went to lunch on the border of Santa Monica and Venice. And we walked outside. We were going to go take a walk down the beach. And we walked outside. And all of a sudden, there was a sign across the street, you know, haircuts. And I don't know why, but I was like, oh, haircut. We're here. I need a haircut. Let me just go do it. And I turned to Sabrina and AJ and I said, hey, do you guys mind if I go get my haircut?
See, and that's the thing is because I'm wired that way. I didn't mind at all. I'm like, absolutely, go get your hair cut.
I know, you need to
do it, you know? Like, because if I don't do it when I'm thinking about it, then I'll forget for another 2 months.
Exactly. So both you and AJ were like, yeah, go ahead, go get your hair cut. Like, no problem. So they literally walked me across the street, put me into the salon, and then they took off and you know, did their thing. And then I said, you know, well, we asked them how long it would take, so you know, they gave me an hour, so AJ and Sabrina came back in an hour, and they were like, wow, okay.
And then I was off to the next activity. I was like, all right, now I'm going to go.
Yeah. She was like, okay, you got your cat. We walked, we ate, I'm done. What's next? And AJ was the same. He's like, okay, we're going to go get a massage now. Let's go. It's like, oh, my gosh. So, yeah, it's very, very, very much like that. So I appreciate the fact that you guys waited for me. And sometimes, you know, you just got to go with your gut. Like, I'm really fussy about people cutting my hair, and I have a stylist, but when I am ready, you know, it's kind of that last minute thing, and he's usually booked up. And that's one of the reasons it's taken me so long. One of the other reasons, I should say, there's a number of reasons it's taken me so long to get a haircut. So, you know, again, sometimes it's really great to have a plan, and other times when you just feel it, just go with the flow.
Just go with it. Absolutely. And that's, maybe that's part of it, though, is I think when I came, like, I enjoyed my time in L.A. I'd been out there before. And just, you know, being out in Venice and basically doing all the stuff that I do in Austin, you know, going for yoga, going for a roller skate, going to Whole Foods, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But when I got back, it wasn't a, oh, my God, I got to move there right now.
Right.
And so then I'm considering, well, maybe I need to, you know, check out San Diego. Maybe I, you know, I just, honestly, I'm just anywhere warm. I'm very much a, I hibernate when it gets cold and rainy.
Yeah.
So my, I know for myself, when I'm really being honest with myself, I only thrive in warmer climates.
Right.
So it's very important to me because that, to me, is, you know, my happiness a lot of times is, you know, I like getting my workout in. I like being active. That keeps me sane. So the whole, you know, maybe coming back from LA, I was like, I don't know. Maybe I'd want to move here, maybe not. So that back and forth and just being okay with that uncertainty and just sitting with it and seeing how I feel in maybe a month instead of like packing up and going right away.
Yeah.
That was a good little struggle about a week ago and just saying, okay, like I'm gonna sit with it. I'm gonna really take care of myself and think about it and not overthink, just go with the sensation. So
absolutely. And that's why I said, like, sometimes it's really great. Like, my haircut totally worked out. It was perfect. It's really great to just go with the flow, just go with your gut. And then other times it's really good to have a plan. Have a plan and a backup plan. You know, backup plans can't hurt you. So you have this, you know, your personal trainer. You have a great, I think AJ said, was talking to me about your boot camp that you have. You do the yoga. So what's your take on fitness and the human body?
So I've always been an athlete. You know, I've always played sports. I grew up power walking with my mom since age 7. If I had an injury, I was in the pool. Mm-hmm. I'm very much wired to, I wake up, I work out. That's just what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of fitness, people always ask me, you know, well, what do you do? I'll just do what you do. And I say to them, I say, I do what I love. So
right.
I love to bike. I love to roller skate. I love to go to yoga. I love to teach boot camp and work out with my clients during the workout. I do what feels right for my body. But I've also had to teach myself how to really listen in and figure that out versus I know people that love to just heavy weight. Lift weights, you know, all day long. That's not my thing.
Yeah.
And so in terms of health and fitness, I am a very big believer in that you have to connect. It's enjoyable. I know that not everyone loves working out, but find something that you enjoy. There is really great pleasure in moving your body and being more alive because you can feel your blood and your heart, and I just feel like it's such an important aspect that is missing from so many people's lives, especially with, you know, with a desk job or sitting in traffic for 2 hours, and people see it as a task, you know, I have to go to the gym, as opposed to something that is very pleasurable, and that's always kind of, that's a discussion I have a lot of times with clients, you know, The beauty of being in a group and working out and inspiring one another. I kind of transitioned from the personal, like, one-on-one training to group fitness because I thought here's an opportunity that people can look forward to it and be social and enjoy the process as opposed to seeing it as, like, a job.
Mm-hmm. I'm compiling right now. You mentioned a desk job. And I have a tendency, I'm a writer just like you are. And what I do is I make sure I get up. I literally every at least 45 minutes because I can sit in my chair for hours on end and just write and write and write, or answer emails and emails and emails. Oh my God, I get answers. I get it. This is due and this is due and this is due. I've had to I've really had to train myself to get up and stretch, you know?
Take those breaks.
Yeah, take the breaks. Sometimes if I'm not getting up, I'll stretch my arms to the sky and stretch my arms back, and take deep breaths. And I'll do that like a few times again to get that breath into the body, to get things flowing again. Even if you have a desk job, move around. I know what you just said about, finding what you love. Absolutely find what you love. But if you have a desk job, please, please, please move around. Even if we all have cell phones now. Everybody has a cell phone now. Set your cell phone for every 45 minutes, where it dings. And once it dings, if you know you're going to forget, once it dings, take that to get up. Put the email down for 3 minutes, put that email down and just get up and take a little walk or stretch up high and you do downward dog or
Yeah, for sure.
whatever.
I always tell my friends, if they can't make boot camp, I'm like, okay, do 30 squats at your chair right now and push up against your desk. And they're like, I'm going to look like a crazy person. So I'm like, who cares? How do you feel? I'm like, all right, I will do it for you. But I also think that in terms of sitting at your desk, or it almost is more challenging once you're so stagnant. It's more challenging to get yourself moving. So it takes almost more discipline to get going once you've been sitting for 10 hours, and that to me is the biggest challenge in general with our lifestyles. It's how can it become so, just like you eat breakfast, you work out, how can it be like I'm going to be active? Whether that's like you go and get a traditional workout in, or you walk to lunch, or just whatever it takes to connect your body, because I feel like as soon as you connect with your body, your mind opens up. You become more emotionally aware. You become more sensitive to other people. You become more sensitive to yourself. It's very cyclical to me. So it's everything is connected. I can't stress that importance enough. And to say that I'm always, I'm a master of it, definitely not. Like, I have figured out what works for me, but I can't say that I always follow, my routine, or there's definitely days where I'm like, I just want to sit here. I don't want to move. And then I realize as soon as I kind of have to force myself out of that it's like, I get in one yoga class, I'm like, oh, I feel so much better now. And it's a reminder.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I have to tell you, AJ and Vanessa and Andrew, I think, I'm not sure, but I think they're getting used to me because I do. Like, I'll get up and I'll stretch and I'll make funny noises because I take these deep breaths and then I let out huge sighs, kind of like very big, loud sighs. But again, it's getting the breath. For me, breath is very, very important. So it's getting the breath flowing again, getting my energy flowing again, letting my muscles know that I still love them and I'm not ignoring them.
For sure.
Because our jobs, with whatever job that you're doing, it takes a toll on your body. Even if you're super, super active, if you're super, super active, take a rest now and again. But if you're in a very still position most of the day, try and find, like Sabrina said, go take a walk. Make sure you're walking for your lunch. Oh, I'm gonna go to this place. It's 3 blocks away. So that's 6 blocks, 3 blocks that you walked over and 3 blocks that you walked back. So, yeah, get moving. Very, very
Get
important.
moving. That's I can't stress it enough, and I only, people will say, ask me all the time, well, what they say, what do you do? What should I do? And I tell them that I can only tell you what I have done, what I know from experience, and this has worked for me. I'm able to write more creatively. I'm able to sleep better. I mean, all those positive consequences because of lifestyle choices I make. And it wasn't easy to figure all those things out. It took years for me to really, you know, what do I have to eat that, you know, I feel energized and I don't wake up feeling like I have a stomach ache? What do I have to do to feel like my muscles are energized? If I'm too sore, then what am I going to do? If I didn't sleep, and, you know, it's like all those things that I see it as like an experiment. You know, our bodies are really just fascinating vessels, and you have to kind of play around with it and see what works for you. I mean,
yes.
My mom's a great example. My mom can have, when she visited Austin a few months back, she made a chicken sandwich at 5 a.m. in the morning because she has to eat before workout versus me. Can have maybe like half an apple, otherwise I will barf. You know, she can have a 3-course meal and go to the yoga class. I don't know any person, and she has the highest metabolism of any 60-year-old I've ever, any person I know.
Wow.
But it's just, you know, that works for her.
Yeah.
What works for me will not work, you know, and it's just being more honest. Like, it's back to that honesty. It's being honest with yourself.
Yeah. I'm more of the apple.
Yeah. I'm like, Mom, are you sure? She's like, yes.
Oh my gosh, no.
We had to go to Whole Foods, we had to get her grilled chicken, we had to get her a loaf of her favorite bread there. Oh, wow. It's 5 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah. And speaking about nutrition, so I'm more of the apple in the morning, definitely, but I love my lunches. My lunches. For dinners, and I, you know, it varies with me. I let my body tell me what it wants and what it doesn't want. So, but for lunch, I'm like the big pig. I'm like, bring it on, food.
Yeah, for sure.
I want to enjoy you. Yeah. So how much do you believe nutrition plays into being healthy?
Oh, I think it's probably, you know, you hear that statistic all the time. It's 80% nutrition, 20% fitness. And I think it's more than anything, if you're not feeding your body properly, enough but not too much, and the right foods, and when, and then your body can't perform as well, and it doesn't feel as good. For me, it's always, well, how do I feel?
Right.
Forget how I look. You know, I was blessed with pretty good genes in terms of physical attribute, like in terms of my body being lean, but it's always, how do I feel? So, yeah, I can go and eat a pint of ice cream and it doesn't really, well, I'm allergic to milk, but you get the idea. It doesn't really affect how I look per se, but I don't feel as good. So if I don't feel as good, I'm not going to want to be as active. And if I'm not as active, then I don't feel as balanced. I don't feel as happy. I don't, you know, it's all those endorphins that it kind of releases. And so for me, a lot of it is, what am I eating? What, you know, if I'm craving something, I eat it. For whatever reason, I mostly crave pretty healthy things, but, you know, and I get into little habits. Like lately, like my little treat or whatever I've been craving is, you know, I'm doing work at a coffee shop. There's taco and Mexican restaurants and food trailers all over Austin. I munch on tortilla chips, you know, like there are people who be like, never eat chips, never eat. But I'm like, well, that's what I'm craving.
Yeah.
So I eat it.
Yeah.
But it's all about, again, balance. It's all about balance and being honest with, you know, how does your body feel? And, you know, I understand that, you know, having a cheeseburger might be really delicious, but how do you really truly feel after it?
Right.
Do you feel energized, or do you feel like, you know, you're maybe a little bloated, or you might just feel heavier, you feel like you're going to barf at your workout, and you have to take all that information and then kind of adjust because of that.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And I did a radio show probably a couple months back that we talked about listening to your body. And I believe I just spoke to Elaine about listening to your body. Like, it's so important. And you just said it as well. When you eat a cheeseburger, how do you feel afterwards? Do you feel sluggish?
Yeah.
Do you feel? I know for me, I love vegetables, and I can eat vegetables all day long. My body will tell me when I need protein. You know, sometimes we go, oh, I got to have you know, my breakfast has to be protein and my lunch has to be this and blah, blah, you know, because we're trying to follow
the plan.
People
put out, you know, well, that's always, so I'm a vegan. I grew up eating meat, so I know the, you know, and I loved meat. I started reading stuff when I was 18 and just didn't really feel comfortable with it ethically and environmentally, and just kind of made the switch. And probably if I ate meat now, I would actually get sick. But yeah. Then, you know, like 11 years or whatnot. But people always say to me, well, you know, where do you get your protein? And it's similar to, you know, 15, 20 years ago or whenever it started, that whole, you know, you got to drink your glass of milk. Well, now it's coming out that, well, dairy's kind of hard on your system. So
yeah.
I feel like people latch on to these fads, and instead of, again, listening to your body, it tells me if I need protein, like I basically eat like half a pound of peanut almond butter every day, mm-hmm. because that's like that's what I love. That's the taste that I love, but it gives me that protein kick.
Yeah.
And you have to teach it. You don't need, you know, 100 grams of protein. You don't need, you know, or maybe you do, but you listen and then decide based on how you're really feeling, as opposed to, you know, a scientist or some doctor or a fitness professional or even me. You know, I could say, oh, well, you know, maybe, I don't know, I get 10 grams of protein a day and I got 50 grams yesterday, and That's the only way to do it. No, like, what's the way for you to do it?
Right. Yeah. Because what I was saying was, I love vegetables. I love it. But my body will tell me when I need protein. When I tell my body that, oh, I'm going to have chicken today, because that's what, you know, my tongue wants as opposed to my body wants. I get sluggish. If I eat too much protein, I know I get sluggish. So, mm-hmm. so I do, I'm more of the vegetable, you know, some carbs, some, as far as bread, I love bread. Everybody loves bread, but, you know, so I limit my bread, cause I know I'm supposed to, but with too much protein, I'm sluggish.
But even the bread thing, I mean, and I always say this to people, it doesn't work so well for my body.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't. I sometimes, you know, it's just kind of affects certain things, you know, but take my mom. She literally probably eats a loaf of bread a day, and it does not matter, you know. It doesn't affect her weight, like people say. It doesn't affect her digestion. It doesn't do anything negative for her, of what I've seen, you know. She's pretty decently, pretty healthy woman, and so I always say to people, you know, it's like, there aren't really any rules. It's just, you know, you have to figure out what
works for
how does your body individually respond? Well, all, you know, there's, I don't know, you know, so the rules of, you can't have this, you can't have that, you can't do this, you can't, you know, and it's like, well, but that's not true, because what works for me may not work for you, and vice versa.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'll go with that.
Yeah.
What's the most important tip you can give our listeners? If you could say one thing to them, what would it be?
In terms of fitness?
Anything.
In terms of life.
It's all kind of
connected. It's, do what feels right. Do what you love. You know, and that's, do what you love in terms of fitness. Do something that really is fun to you. If that's going out and playing pickup soccer for exercise, if that's, you know, rowing, if that's going for a swim, if it's, you know, punching numbers. I know friends in New York that are working on Wall Street that absolutely love their job. If I was tired, I would be fired in a week. I would be miserable. But writing and teaching fitness classes, that speaks to me.
Yeah.
So just doing what feels right and what you love, I think that is the most important lesson almost to learn, or the most important value to live by.
Yeah. Pursue your passion.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very passionate. And again, it goes back to after my sister died, I became so focused on, I just want to feel good. I just want to feel healthy. That literally became almost like a mantra for me. I don't want to feel depressed anymore. I don't want to feel sad. Of course I'm going to feel sad. I miss my sister every day. You know, around her death anniversary, on a birthday, I'm a little bit of emotional wreck here and there, you know, have crying spells, but that's good and healthy, and it feels good to cry. But for the most part, it's, you know, what can I do to feel good today? And so I do those things.
Right.
You know, and I know that it's easier said than done a lot of times. It's, you know, I know that my dad struggles with that every day. You know, he wants to be healthy. He wants to do things that are good for him. It doesn't necessarily follow through on that intention, but it's working toward that, I think, is the most important. How can I set myself up so over time I learn how to really take care of myself, yeah, professionally, relations, in every aspect of life.
Good. That's good. It's very healthy.
Yeah.
What is, because you and I spoke about this when we met, which I found very interesting. Can you tell our listeners what your new book is about?
So when I was at Northwestern, my thesis was basically just about dating and sexuality. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of started tinkering with these topics and writing about them and thinking about them. And over the past, I don't know, I mean, it's, what has it been now? Just over two and a half years or so, almost 3 years. I've added parts, I've taken out parts, and just in the past 2 or 3 months, I've really started full-fledged on working on a new book that focuses a lot on online dating, mm-hmm, but, you know, the relationships and how you interact, and, you know, again, it's not just about, like, finding someone. It's finding someone that's right for you.
Yeah.
And the sexual aspect and being honest with yourself that, listen, like, there has to be a sexual component and a romantic sexual drive toward an individual, because otherwise it's just a buddy. You know, I have a lot of friends that are good-looking guys, but I don't feel that connection with them. So, you know, all my mishaps, you know, And again, it's putting it out there in a book and writing about it, so then other people will read it, hopefully, and then feel a little bit more sane, you know. And everyone is a little crazy in their own way. And I think exploring that craziness and exploring all the fun and the disappointments and all that surrounding this whole idea of dating and love and sex is something, it's not so... It doesn't weigh me down as much as writing about necessarily like my sister's death. It's a little bit more uplifting,
yes.
But it's all interconnected. So that's what this book is about. And, you know, still, you know, tinkering with, you know, trying to figure out the whole agent thing and, you know, a publisher pick it up and all that good stuff. But
yeah.
Right now I'm just in the, you know, preliminary writing process, which is really fun for me.
It is fun. It is fun. I enjoy yeah, writing as well. Right now, for me, it's all programs and, you know, whatnot. But I love creative writing. It makes me super,
yeah,
super happy. So
yeah.
So Sabrina, can you tell our listeners where they can find you? Do you have a website? Do you have Facebook? Where are your classes?
Yeah. So I created a website. I created it when I was in college. And I kind of updated it, but it's SabrinaMuss.com, and it has a lot. It actually has a lot of my photography from traveling.
Okay.
You know, I've done a lot of traveling in Europe and Southeast Asia and Africa and Central America, and so in addition to that, it has a lot of writing samples and links to my books. You know, you can go on Amazon and do all that good stuff. But I use Facebook a ton. I post a lot about fitness and my camps and, you know, little dating, little stories and tips. And that's a really great way to connect. So that's probably Facebook and my website. Those are probably the two major. And Amazon, that's an easy way. I end up doing the whole Kindle thing for the Musk Girls blog just to make it a little bit more accessible to people.
Yeah. Oh, I have a question for you. That I was going to ask you this earlier, and we got into another topic. What
yes.
What the title, Must Girls Love?
So obviously my last name is Ma. And I'm the youngest of four girls. Maya was the oldest. And Maya just had this saying, must girls love. It was, you know, we were sisters and best friends. And even though there's, you know, like sisters fight and we bicker and have disagreements, they're at the core of us, we're very united and bonded. And it was just a phrase that she had. And I played with titles for many, many months trying to figure out what to name it. And all of a sudden it just came to me and it just felt right. And it was very Maya. And as sad as the book can be in certain ways, the title itself gave almost a hint of hope and just kind of exuded that love that my sister showed. So that's the book title. It's very connected to something that Maya cherished. She, you know, saw her role as the oldest sister. It was very important to her. So.
Oh, good. That's awesome. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I really appreciate it. Because I was like, what is this title? It's cute.
Yeah, because it
means
definitely,
something, but
you know,
I don't know what it means.
It's different. But, you know, and we're the Musk girls, you know, everyone, and I come from an area in Detroit where, you know, I'm a Jew, and there's a lot of Jews, and we all kind of know each other, and, you know, everyone knows the Musks and the Musk girls, and it's just, I don't know, it's just a very, it's part of me. So it just felt right when I was naming the book.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Sabrina, for being honest and for being here on the show. I've really, really loved having you, and I've loved meeting you as well and hanging out and getting my hair cut.
It was very mutual.
And you
gonna put a face to her name. So.
Yes, yes. And you have the cutest, she has the cutest pug named Monkey.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Monkey, I just fed her. She is running around my place right now like a maniac. Yes. I don't know what's going on. She just wants to play all day long, but she's 9 pounds and the cutest thing ever.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So Sabrina goes, where Sabrina goes, Monkey goes, which is
super, yeah, exactly. Super awesome. I'm hosting a happy hour hangout for my Duke Camp clients today at a bar, and I'm going to put Monkey's service, quote unquote, service vest on and bring her over.
That's awesome. That's so awesome. And believe me, whenever...
Don't tell anyone that I'm illegally bringing her into that bar.
Whenever I have to... you know what? I don't think anybody would care. Wherever you
I don't think
Monkey,
so either.
Everybody loves Monkey.
Yeah, everyone loves Monkey.
Yeah, it's
I wish I was a single guy. Oh my God, women flock to this dog. I have women crying sometimes because she's so cute. It's a little it's concerning, but whatever.
No, it's awesome. So Sabrina, thank you again for being on our show. I hope that we can talk again soon. And, you know, everybody out there, try to take Sabrina's class if you're in Austin or if you're visiting Austin. Look Sabrina up and take her class. She's lots of fun. And you might get to meet Monkey.
Yes. Thanks, Monica. I'm always open to new people. Just come and try it out. Come in for free. It doesn't matter. Just want you working out. That's all that matters to me.
Awesome. Well, I've got to wrap up the show. So, Sabrina, we'll talk again soon. And have a beautiful, beautiful rest of your day.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks. All of you listeners out there, if you haven't already signed up for our newsletter, take a minute. It has changed. We have revamped it. It's gorgeous. It's very topic specific now. Andrew Dow, who is our part of our marketing, is done a wonderful, wonderful job on it. When you sign up for our newsletter, we'll give you a free copy of Universe 101 Learn, Grow, Evolve, which, as you all know, is my book that I wrote. And all you have to do is go to www.theuniverseseries.com and sign up now. Just put in your email address. We never, ever sell email addresses. We don't give them away to anybody. Your email address is, we use it, and we'll send you our newsletter, which is now once a week. There's lots of great articles in there to help you find keys to successfully maintaining and improving relationships, career, health, and so much more. You'll love the articles. I always include an inspiration. So sign up, www.theuniverseseries.com. There's never been an education system in place to keep us from the pitfalls of an unhealthy life until now. The Focused Life series is our weekend intensives. The next one is called Holistic You, Better Body, Better Life. It's going to be held on March 20th, 21st, and 22nd. For more information on this amazing intensive or our March, the rest of our March, April, or May schedules, send us an email at support@theuniverseseries.com. Remember, it's limited to 8 people, so reserve your seat now by contacting us at support@theuniverseseries.com. We'll send you all of the information you need to make an amazing life choice for yourself. The Focused Life series provides answers to life's frequently asked questions. Universe Talks with Monica Ortiz is now every Monday morning at 7 a.m. Pacific and 10 a.m. Eastern. Be sure to tune into our next show, Firefighting, Pain Not Glory, on Monday, March 16th, where I'll be speaking with Los Angeles Fire Captain Max Hengst. Max is going to share with us some very interesting stories. I've known Max for 9 years, and trust me, I'm always enthralled by some of his stories. He gets really, really into it, and some of them are, woo, super intense. You can listen to us at www.blogtalkradio.com/Universe Talks. The show is available on iTunes. You can click on the purple icon once you're in the iTunes page. Click on the purple icon underneath the banner on the page, blogtalkradio.com/Universe Talks, to follow along and make sure you're getting the most recent episode when it comes out. It's iTunes, people, so you can listen to it whenever you want, at whatever time you want. I want to leave you with a thought. Do you need to make amends to someone you've hurt? Are you doing something you particularly don't want to do? Are you holding yourself back from doing something you want to? Stop and take stock of your life. Change the things you need to so you can move forward. Thanks for listening to Universe Talks with Monica Ortiz. Have a beautiful week until we talk again.